Turned On with Sue and John is brought to you by Eden Fantasies. Ready for a little undercover fun? With Connection, you are always on a secret spy mission for the most intense orgasm that will not be detected by anyone. This is more than a vibrator. It's your partner in crime for a sneaky escapade or a third accomplice when you're doing the nasty with your partner. Get yours at EdenFantasies.com/turned on or click their banner at turnedonpodcast.com.
This is the podcast for passionate, sex positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
She's back from Mexico. Just so you know, Sue McGarvey, I kept Canada nice and cold for your return. You're welcome.
Okay, I had the best week. Well, I was 10 days in Los Cabos, the Pacific Coast. Baby turtles, whale watching, I know, art classes. I did cooking class. I went on all kinds of cultural experiences and lay on the beach and saw snorkeled, and it was great. Traveling with me, everybody said to a person, they said, would you come with me again? Because I took 25 people and at our heyday, we were 40. They said, would you travel with me again? They all went, fuck yes, of course I would. We had the most fun.
You are always a lot of fun. But it sounds to me, this is not one of Sue's sescapades. This sounds like it was...
clothing optional. Okay. Come on, the whole thing. We were in yurts on the beach and everybody walked around naked. Come on, we were a hippie. It was very much a hippie dippy trip. Yeah, and there was lots to do every day and a bunch of people hooked up. But, you know, there wasn't a play space or anything. But we were staying at a place called Crania, which is... it looked like a Mad Max set. It was like there were disco balls hanging from a bulldozer and a crane. And it had dystopian like legs and hands. It was crazy. It was cool. It was Burning Man. Cool. And we were at Burning Man, Mexico. It was so wild. And then we had these yurts. Anyway, it was like dogs running around and pelicans, and it was magical.
I just want to say thank you to some new friends who have reached out through FetLife, FetLife.com. Mm-hmm. I am Megahertz. You are welcome to add me as a friend. I've been having a lot of conversations because I'm getting to the Sarasota-Tampa Bay area in the next little while. We've already talked about Eyes Wide Shut. We talked about that, I think, last week on the podcast or the week before that. And they've also introduced me to the Phoenix Club, which sounds really, really interesting. So I'll have my little vacation to report back on shortly as well. It's Turned On with Sue and John. Let's begin with this, Sue. What happens when the penis gets stuck?
There's been a couple of articles lately because I guess there has been a few issues. So they don't entirely know why some women can clamp down because it's the muscles. It's not like it gets caught. It's not like there's a hidden trap door in there or anything. But especially for young women who are nervous about sex, the vaginismus is a painful spasm of the vaginal muscle, but you can get to the point where it's such a strong muscle, it grips the penis and it cannot come out. Oof. Doesn't happen easily. Muscle relaxant will solve the problem. But a lot of people end up embarrassed and freaked out and call the ambulance.
And how long does it take for the muscle relaxant to kick in?
If you got the ambulance guys there, they can give you a shot in the ass and your muscles will relax. It's so rare, and it happens with really nervous, usually virginal women.
Okay.
So, but there are stories of it happening. You know, guys, she's really tight. He's really well endowed. They don't know what they're doing. They're nervous. She gets more and more panicked. She squeezes down because that spasm of the muscle can happen just like you hold tension in your shoulders and your hips.
Sure.
People can hold it in their vaginal muscle, which is why they get really tight and they have vaginal pain, which is why the pelvic physiotherapies get them to work on opening. But some of them have been holding it tight forever. And man, those muscles are rock solid. So there was an article in the Times of India that came up about this couple. And yeah, just fooling around in India where you're not supposed to and they're not engaged, which would have, you know, caused everybody, still a scandal, but not as bad. Well, You know, she had, they, you know, trying to figure out how to do it. And she says, well, get a knife and cut it off. And no, muscle relaxant. We've got to figure it out. So it caused, okay, I feel really badly for them, but it, you know, I guess it was kind of funny at the time. And there was, you know, anyway, lots of drama around that, but muscle relaxants, important safety tip. If you want to make sure you are not, you know, if it's too tight and it hurts so much getting in, probably need to work on it. And so my secret is this. Go to the drugstore, get Robaxacet. That's a muscle relaxant. You know, you saw the commercials with the little guy dancing. Grind it up. I got a new mortar and pestle thing from Mexico. It's volcanic rock. I digress. But crash it up. Put it in lube. Stick it up. And you will open. That's all you need to do.
You put it in the lube instead of taking it orally?
You put it in the lube and you stick it up your snatch, right? Into your vagina. And it actually acts like a localized thing and causes the muscles to relax inside. You can do it. Yeah, I know. Works for anal too, but helps open everything up.
Over to you. We're back to set. I can't wait to see your new commercial on TV.
Yes, it is. It's going to be good.
Coming up in just a few, we have a list of Canada's sexiest cities and sexiest towns. So hang on for that, plus the kinky confessional. Right now, though, Sue, I am attracted to ghosts. That's the notation Sue has given me, by the way. It's not me attracted to ghosts, although I wouldn't discount it.
Well, it's this idea that you want to, you know, you want to try something new. It's a fetish you might not have heard of. It's called spectrophilia. It's it refers to having a thing for ghosts because sometimes humans aren't worth it. It usually
sometimes
involves a fantasy of a spirit. People believe they actually had sex one night with a ghost while they were sleeping. Traditionally, a succubus, you know, a female sex ghost, an incubus is a male sex ghost that has sex with humans as they sleep and they're insatiable. Or, you know, it is related to, you know, all of the anime, octopus porn, fantasy porn, where you're thinking, you know, you're going to have sex with, you know, George Washington on his wooden teeth, right? I don't know where that came from, but you
I
know,
think
you
we're looking at different porn channels.
The ghost the ghost of Marilyn Monroe comes and sits on your face in her white dress.
That's
come on,
closer.
There you go.
That's closer that's to what closer. I'm watching. Yeah.
All right, that's there you go. So you can have this, and it's this idea that it's so fantasy, right? There's a whole pile of people that still fetishize Demi Moore and the pottery and, you know, Patrick Swayze and Ghost and doing that and how sexy that was and the idea of having a lover that's, you know, real when you want them to be and not real, not there when you don't want them to be, I think appeals to a lot of people.
There was a story a while back about a woman, in fact, I've seen several stories since, who have actually married ghosts.
Or trees, or horses, or, you know, there's all of that, right? It's just like, okay, you know, there's that hot, crazy matrix, right? Run. You know, I'm not discounting, like, everybody's spiritual, they've got their own stuff, and I had an aunt. She died, but she, you know, but she would talk to ghosts, and she said she was an ordained spiritualist minister because there's a church of spirituality. Like, I know. So she would, I saw her, and she was at a, you know, there's probably, she would go to Lilydale, which is like a place in upstate New York that is, you know, they would leave food out for the fairies and they would have little houses for them. And they had nothing but all their activities were all about ghosts and spirits and tarot and, you know, your horoscopes, all of that stuff. And she really bought, she walked the walk and she stood up in front of a group of about 40 people. And I'm there watching her. And she says, I'm talking to somebody's Uncle Albert and somebody's in the, and he's got green overalls and, you know, somebody really resonated. So you never know what that is. And I think that that piece around having in the hots for a spectrophilia is a thing.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Lots of great topics on the show as usual this week. Let us know what you would like to hear more of, or less of for that matter. TurnedOnPodcast.com. Next up, what I learned from surfing porn for 18 months. I like that somebody has taken this on as a project. Way to commit.
Way to commit. Yes. Well, they did it to write a book about sex education with students.
There you go.
So it's not as skanky as you think it might be. However, it is pretty skanky because what they found, she said some of it was really awful, really offensive. Some of it was fabulous and turned her on. Some of it was, you know, all of this stuff. But what basically, as you start to watch it over time, you notice that the sexualization of things that you hadn't necessarily thought of. She said she used the, the woman who did the study, school uniforms and short skirts had become quite the symbol. And I'm like, where have you been living under a rock? They've always been a sex symbol.
I never got that one, but okay. I know, okay. It's a thing. I don't get it because it's, anyway.
And it was interesting to see how porn defines people's sexual lexicon. And it happens for so many people, right? And how much of this content influences what you're fan. And I've long thought that there's a whole generation raised by Hugh Hefner, you know, big hair, big lips, big boobs, that that's what they think sexy is. And they haven't, you know, they don't think that, you know, all women are beautiful no matter what. But, you know, it's there's a whole process to that. Her advice was pay for your porn. That it's paying for porn gives you more enjoyable entertainment experiences. It's more than just an ethical choice. You're paying for it. You get a higher quality of viewing material. Content is better produced, more varied, more authentic, more inclusive. And it's understanding that it's, you know, that it's not just choking or anal sex without preparation, or that it's trying to emulate porn. You know, if you're young and this is what you think it is, it's not. So understand that there's a whole thing. But I really thought that was interesting because we all use free porn, paying for porn. And I tell everybody who's dating, pay for the dating apps. Otherwise, you get what you pay for. And you get the what I call the giant tiger of dating sites.
But if for those listening beyond Canada's borders, that's a major discount chain. Cheap arena in Canada.
What would they have in the States? The Kmart of dating sites. It's even worse than that. Yeah
it's somewhere between your dollar store and your Kmart.
Yeah. So if you don't pay for porn, maybe you get what you pay for. So I thought that was a really interesting observation and worth pondering. And if you have the money, maybe you need to do that as opposed to just going to, you know, X Hamster and getting whatever you can get for free. Finding something that really works for you and seeing if you get a higher quality of experience. That was her takeaway, 18 months of watching porn.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
You are a big fan of a website called Pink Cherry, Sue, and they have just published a list of Canada's sexiest cities and towns. So if you're in Canada, this is going to be of interest to you. If you're thinking of visiting Canada, perhaps this is where you want to go. So their rankings are based on the most sales per person. Pink Cherry, for those who don't know, sells adult toys. So
And cheaply. Go to their blowout section. They're cheap. They're not as good as our friends at Eden Fantasy.
No, they're not.
They can be cheap. But yes, we like Eden Fantasy because they sponsor us.
But I bring it up because it's interesting to see what cities they have discovered are on the naughty side, our kind of cities. So when it comes to cities, the top 10 in Canada, Surrey in British Columbia, Montreal at number 9. I would have put Montreal at number 1 if you had asked me. Montreal's a very
They get a lot of sex shops, though. They may not be buying online.
Plus Montreal Fetish Weekend. Yeah, it's notoriously a very sexy city. But yes, based on sales, Montreal is number 9. Victoria, British Columbia, which is a pretty quiet city.
Yeah, the newlyweds and nearly deads. Yep.
Toronto, Canada's wildest city, you would have thought, is number 7. Ottawa is number 6. That's the nation's capital. I know. There we are. Vancouver at number 5. London, Ontario. You naughty people in London, Ontario. Number 4, Winnipeg. Nothing else going on in Winnipeg. Might as well order some sex toys. It's number 3. Edmonton, number 2. And Calgary. Congratulations. Canada's sexiest city. When it comes to towns, La Chute, Quebec, Salmon Arm, British Columbia, High River, Alberta, Lacombe, Alberta, Powell River, British Columbia, Edmonston, New Brunswick.
Ooh.
I stop and sleep at the Walmart there about 3 times a year. On the way to and from the cottage. Just outside Ottawa, Carleton Place, Ontario, Estevan, Saskatchewan, Amos, Quebec, and Roberval, Quebec, the number 1 sexiest town. Ottawa, where we're based, by the way. So we'll just talk about our little city here. Our favorite flavor of lube? Any guesses?
Strawberry.
You got it. Favorite BDSM?
Lots of strawberry fields around here.
Favorite BDSM accessory?
I don't know, flogger?
Restraints.
Restraints, okay.
Favorite anal toy here in town, Sue?
Butt plugs.
Ding, 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 ding.
Bring on the butt plugs.
And Ottawa ranks number one when it comes to remote control toys.
Ooh, ooh, we like the control. Ooh, I love that. Okay.
Here we go, traveling across Canada. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. So we got 10 cities here, and this is what they are number one for. So Winnipeg is the most self-obsessed city. Self-love.
Lots of masturbatory sleeves.
Yep. Toronto is the cuffed-up capital, so that would be the kinky capital of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Lots of kink clubs there.
Yep, they're buying the most BDSM stuff. Quebec City loves butt stuff.
Yes.
The biggest, fattest dildos are sold to people in Edmonton.
They're a little stuffy there, yeah.
We already mentioned that Ottawa is the most controlling. We love our remote controls. In Calgary, Canada's sexiest city, it's all about wet and wild. They purchase the most lube in Calgary. In Victoria, it's all about the magic wands, electric toys.
Yeah. All magic wands are good. Everybody should have a magic wand. They should be giving them out as part of the World Health Organization.
To no one's surprise, Toronto is the most trendy city. They love all the new things. They'll take a chance on something that doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of reviews. And the best nightlife, luminescent, glow-in-the-dark toys sold to people in Vancouver.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
Hey, this is the Kinky Confessional. Get on your knees.
You've been a very, very, very bad girl.
Our kind of listener, exactly. The Kinky Confessional, no phone number required, no email required. It's 100% anonymous. There's just a little space you fill in, whatever it is you want to confess, something you want to do, something you have done, something you're thinking about, something you fantasize about, but you can't tell your friends. You can tell us. TurnedOnPodcast.com. This submission... submission. I went for a walk in a forested area near my house that has lots of walking trails. Didn't take long until a very attractive man caught my eye and I started walking near him, then beside him, and then I struck up a conversation. Well, before long, we were both off the path and a little deeper into the trees, me on my knees, taking him in my mouth. I'm not usually that daring, but I have to confess, I can't wait to do that again.
Ooh. Well, I just love it. I think that's fun. Some of the hottest, and you think about the top 10, I don't know if you have a top 10 sex list, you know, best experiences. I had one in the woods near Deep River that is in my top 10. I have some lovely, lovely sexual experiences, but you know, that was fun in the woods, in the trees.
Completely anonymous, not even exchanging names or anything.
That wasn't true. It was a partner at a time. I did know him, but still, it was in the trees and I loved it. It was really fun.
I'm sorry. So, I was thinking of our listener. I wasn't thinking of you. I apologize.
I know you weren't thinking of me. And for her, it's the anonymous part and it's in the trees and you just did it spontaneously and well done. And I think a lot of people, I read it and went, ooh, there's a tingle. Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yes, I wish I knew where this forest was.
Or you could be walking, right? You could say, hey, sad listener, please let me know when you're going to be walking again.
Yeah, I do need to lose a few pounds, and walking is something I'm more than happy to do.
Your t-shirt says, walk this way.
We're rocking the Aerosmith t-shirt today. Thank you for your kinky confession at TurnedOnPodcast.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
She's Sue, I'm John, this is Turned On, and next up, three types of passion and how it can lead to better sex or even no sex. I vote better sex.
Better sex is good.
Yes.
Better sex is good. So you have different kinds of passion and it's all about pleasure. All of the new research is not about desire. It's really about pleasure. And you think that was the key, but Emily, who is the author of Come As You Are, just did a study about finding, you know, your passion spot and what happens when you're not connected. And it turns out it's play. And we've been talking about sex being adult play forever. Mm-hmm. And how this need to cuddle, to be connected, is part of that, because a lot of women are saying, here's this, I don't know if it comes across it. He treats me like that thing that's just supposed to turn on anytime. You know, he works hard, blah, blah, blah. So he can have sex with you anytime, but you need to feel connected to him. He loves me, but it's a huge turnoff when he treats me like a thing I have to do. I have plenty to do. I want sex to be deeper than another thing to cross off my list, which I thought was really very clear. So they were talking about the different kinds of passion and how it relates to that. So there's the obsessive sexual passion, which we don't want to go to. Those are the ones that intense preoccupation. This is like you're 17 again. All you're thinking about is sex, 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 sex. And it's the detriment of other relationships, or it's the stalking, or it's I can't get over an ex kind of stuff. That's obsessive sexual passion. Inhibited sexual passion is primarily determined by external influences, characteristics of suppression of inhibited sexual desires. So if you push them down long enough, they pop up inappropriately. That's what keeps sex therapists in business. And then we all strive for harmonious sexual passion, but it has to have a playful component. So I think, you know, I know that the over 40 group that I run has just did a, I got a note from somebody. They just did a really like a games night, but it was all about Cards Against Humanity and they'd never played it. But she said, I left it so turned on because it's naughty. It's funny. It's playful. You're single. There's alcohol. She said, I left. I was so turned on, Sue. Oh my God. And I'm like, that's harmonious sexual passion, right? It's a healthy, balanced integration of passion. And it can make it feel, unlike in obsessive or inhibited types, it's basically, it's experiencing a strong desire for intimacy, connection, and great pleasure. And the more you can do it in a playful way, and you can do it for people who are struggling with libido, it works so much better. So break out the Cards Against Humanity. If you got a birthday coming up, Valentine's Day, it would be a great thing to buy.
My birthday is 2 days after Valentine's Day. Just saying.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Ooh, this sounds a little up my alley here, Sue. You've got a question from someone. Sue at sexwithsue.com, the email address, or just reach out through the website, turnedonpodcast.com. This person says they are turned on by erotic humiliation and orgasm control.
Yes. Hot. I knew you'd like it. I know you'd like it. Mm. Well, it was a question. So they wanted to know, Sue, orgasm control, I think, is a real thing. I know I had a client who wanted, he didn't want to come, didn't want to climax. And so we had a whole talk about what dominatrixes do, which is milking the prostate. So that, because it's if you don't ejaculate, you can end up with prostate cancer. It's actually not a, quite a cause and an effect, but it's very strongly linked and it's a correlation. So you want to keep your prostate clean and it does that by climaxing. So what are you doing? So you want to make sure if you're going to not have any orgasms, and that's a thing. I had, you know, she said she had a submissive guy and she finally made him come and that was the end of the relationship because he had asked her that he didn't want to and she didn't believe him. She thought he was just... And she finally got him turned on enough that he actually came. And then that was it. The energy's gone. He didn't want to be with her anymore. And so this happens. And it's this is a really common thing. So edging, and to which the submissive partner is brought to the brink of climax and then forced to stop and done repeatedly, is an example of orgasm control. The idea here is that for as long as you like, you let your partner take the reins and determine when and how you come. And with all the activities, anyone can engage in orgasm control, regardless of their genitalia. But I had a friend who's a dominatrix whose partner, whose live-in partner, was allowed an orgasm once a year on his birthday.
Oh, wow.
I know. That was it. That was all. The rest of the time she had a sort of a curved butt plug and would milk his prostate. And that's it. That's all he got. I know. You think that's sexy.
I may have a submissive in my inbox right now asking for a release and I'm ignoring her because I'm doing this podcast. That may actually be happening as we record the show.
There you go. Go find him on FetLife if you're interested. Yeah.
Megahertz.
Part about it, megahertz. The other part is erotic humiliation.
Yes.
It lets you reclaim the embarrassment of getting off. Right? Humiliation play is consensual power exchange because if you've been humiliated, either for size, and I am one of the few sex therapists in North America that has a whole section on my website about small penis size and what happens and being humiliated about that. But humiliation play says it helps people heal the self that has been bullied as a child. There's a sense of mastery over something that has previously been non-consensual. And people who've been bullied often will have it turn into a fetish. And what they want is their partner to humiliate them about the size of their penis, which is something they've been, you know, picked on their whole life in locker rooms. But then it becomes sexy for them. And people go, huh? And I'm like, I know. Don't worry about it. Just roll with it and know that it's a thing. So erotic humiliation for the listener. Stop beating yourself up. It's fine. It's very normal. Don't worry about it. And you know, and it's how many people go to prostitutes or sex workers, dominatrixes, because they're so worried about telling their partner that they want that. But if you want to role play being humiliated about your size or about anything else, I think that's just fun. Whatever gets you off is all good. And you completely get it.
Well, I do. And sorry, I almost interrupted you there. I really discovered the powers of erotic humiliation when I became incredibly depressed. When I was first dealing with depression, hating on myself, you live in your head about, you know, these horrible things. I'm too fat. I'm too thin. Like you said, you know, my penis is too small. My penis is too crooked. A million different things, you know, that pop into your head. And when you can actually be in a scenario like that, and I was very lucky that my partner allowed me to pursue BDSM and go and see dominatrices, etc., and you could actually openly discuss these things and be humiliated by them, it created an okayness with it, an acceptance of it, that became part of the play and part of the dynamic. And inevitably the conversation, you know, would have the dominatrix revealing to you that a lot of people feel this way. Like, you're really not alone. So for me, it was kind of cathartic. And yeah, it's nothing to be ashamed about. In fact, it's a big reason why we have the Kinky Confessional on our website, turnedonpodcast.com.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and blasttheradio.com.
Last up on this edition of Turned On with Sue and John. By the way, share us with a friend, please.
Yes. Yes. Tell everybody you know about this podcast. We would really appreciate it.
Yep. And you can find us on Twitter. You can find us. Well, all of our links are on turnedonpodcast.com. That's, you know, just, you've got a friend, you've had that little conversation with at a restaurant. You know, they need a little advice. There's no better advice coming your way than from Sue McGarvey. So just pass on a link to them. All right. Last up, how more sex leads to better sleep. We could all use a much better sleep, Sue.
Yes. Well, what happens is as your testosterone goes for men, it affects your sleep. And for women, it's estrogen and progesterone. And we all know about waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, perimenopausal or menopausal, and can't get back to sleep. But if you are insomniacs, you need to do this. The sleep doctor has said, here's the prescription. His name is Michael Mosley. He said, you banish junk food from your diet. I'm trying to get off the sugar after a week in Mexico, and it's
me
hard.
Me too, and the chips and dip because football is on.
I know. You fast for 12 hours.
Okay.
Make love even if you're exhausted. He's got a 4-week sleep plan, primarily for men. Give up the booze and the coffee, and no matter how tired you feel, don't turn down the opportunity to bang you, especially in the morning. Studies have shown that sex can improve the quality of your sleep in a huge way because it boosts your cuddle hormone, oxytocin, and reduces your stress hormone, your cortisol, and is really, really, really powerful, and more powerful for men than women. So you want to really watch the carbs. You want to manage the booze, and you want to wake up with wood. And anything you can do to have more sex, more intimacy, and masturbation doesn't cut it, because you're not going to get your cuddle hormone, your oxytocin, which will help you sleep, if you're just, unless you're in love with your sex doll, which we, you know, talked about inanimate objects things, but you really want to try and get some. So I was talking to a number of people on our Mexico trip about, you know, that they're single and they're not getting enough. And I'm like, you guys need to hook up with each other, because think of it as a health thing. And I'm saying, you're going to get way more sleep if you guys are hooking up in a consensual way. You guys are all single. You're all adults. You've all got the right parts. Fill them.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.